And we're going to have it up there, but you're welcome to look that up in your Bible. We talked last week about, of course it was Easter, we talked about the resurrection being the heart of the gospel message, how it answers four critical questions. Is there a God? How do we know that what we believe about God is true? Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? And how can I be assured that I'll go to heaven when I die? And we got all of that out of Paul's sermon to a city in a place called Antioch of Pisidia. This is where he first preached in that area, and he began, as he always did when he came into a city, he would go first to the synagogues. He'd preach first to the Jews. They were already having services. They were already asking about God. They had, you know, open mic Saturday. They said, anybody want to talk, you know, feel free to speak up. And Paul would always stand up and present the gospel. That's where he started. And in this particular place, when he gave that sermon, there was a lot of Jewish folks and a lot of Gentile converts, God-fearers, converts to Judaism, who heard him and believed the gospel and wanted to hear more. They were just amazed. They thought it was awesome. And then the next Sabbath, when he went to go in the synagogue again, it says the entire city came out. Word had spread, and people were curious. They were like, what in the world is this new thing that we're hearing about, this Jesus? And so the whole city came out to the synagogue and wanted to hear about it. And so the non-believing Jews got all, you know, bent out of shape and jealous and angry about it. And so they began to oppose Paul and Barnabas and contradict them and resist them. And you know who was behind that. They began to resist them, and Paul said to them, well, fine, basically, you know, if you don't want eternal life, that's cool. We'll just preach it to the Gentiles. And that brings us to where we are today, verse 48. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, and they raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So things start off great. They're rocking, man. Paul preaches the gospel. The Gentiles think it's awesome. And multitudes come out and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The entire city comes down to the synagogue, and multitudes get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with joy. Good things are happening. A lot of reason to get excited. So Paul was sitting there going, Barnabas, man, what day is it? And Barnabas would be like, Saturday. Praise God. And then they met what? Resistance. Suddenly Satan stirs up resistance and opposition, and the next thing you know, Paul and Barnabas are thrown out. Kick to the curb. That's it. You're out of here. Have a nice life. Don't look back. Don't let the doorknob hit you. You know, things are going wonderful. Things are exciting. Things are really flying. And all of a sudden, bam, thrown out of town. How do you deal with that? Have you ever had that? You know, you're all excited about something. Man, you know, you were doing something for God, and things started going really well. And you thought, wow, this is really cool. And the next thing you know, bam, something hits you head on, some resistance from the enemy out of left field that blindsides you. You weren't looking for it. All of a sudden, you're sitting there discouraged thinking, man, where did that come from? Just when I was getting excited, man, what is all this about? Anybody had that happen? Amen. Amen. And you might be tempted to sort of, you know, have a pity party. To just sort of say, man, you know, God, why did you let that happen? I don't get it. I was so excited. Was that really you, or did I miss it? Was that just me? Was I just getting, you know, emotional or something? Because right now I don't feel very spiritual. Right now, you know, I'm picking my teeth out of the ground and I'm dusting myself off and I just, you know, what is up with this? Praise God. You know, in Paul and Barnabas' case, you know, John Mark had already abandoned them before that even happened. So one person out of their team had already given up, already threw in the towel. But what did Paul and Barnabas do? That's what they could have done. They could have had a pity party. They could have said, well, John Mark, I guess he was right. Man, it's this gospel stuff, the heck with this. Man, you go in, you do something nice, folk get excited. Next thing you know, they throw you out. I'm going home. I don't know about you. I've had enough of this Jesus stuff. But they didn't. They didn't give up. They left town. They got thrown out. But they continued to preach the gospel. Now, as far as resistance goes, they didn't encounter any kind of threats. They didn't encounter any kind of violence. All they had was rejection. But, you know, for some folks, that's enough to stop them. Some folks, man, you get rejected. That's it. Ugh, I'll never do that again. See if I ever witness again. You go to hand somebody a gospel tract and they say a cuss word or something and walk off. You're like, well, obviously I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm going home. What's on TV? Or you try to share the gospel with one of your family members and they're just like, oh, I don't want to hear all that religious stuff. And so you just say, well, that's the last time I ever, you know, put my neck on the line to talk about the Lord. Little rejection, man. I mean, folks just fold right up. Pack it up and go home. They hadn't even encountered any violence. They hadn't, you know, nobody had thrown anything at them or, you know, they just said, hey, you know, get out of town. They said, fine, you don't want it? We'll go somewhere else. Praise God. But the fruit, they kept on preaching. And the fruit was, it says, when they left town, the disciples that were there, when they saw that they weren't discouraged, when they saw that testimony, they were persistent, they were faithful, they persevered. It says the disciples were filled with what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. People are watching you. Your brothers are watching you. Your sisters are watching you. Are you going to discourage them or are you going to be a model for them when you face rejection? All right. So they leave the city. They're rejected. They say, okay, fine, we'll leave. They come to the second city, a place called Iconium. Let's read what happens. Chapter 14. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, not just multitude, great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it. And fled, yeah. And fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. So, once again, things start off great. They come to town, they go in the synagogue, they preach the gospel, and great multitudes believe. Man, people are just, you know, turning to Christ right and left. The gospel is going out. The word of God is spreading through the region. And God is even granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So great things are happening. And then what happens? They meet resistance. Here we go again. The unbelieving Jews, they come up and they stir up the crowd. And it says here that they poisoned their minds against the brethren. Poisoned their minds. How do you poison someone's mind? I guess you could, you know, feed them supersized fast food for 30 days straight, and, you know, that would at least poison their body, and maybe some of that would go in their mind. But how do you poison someone's mind? Could tell lies about them. What else? Deception. Could tell lies, or you could, you know, do deception. Anybody else? Flattery. Flattery. Flatter someone else. Flatter one person in order to gain their confidence against this other person. Poison their mind. Anybody else? Laura. Expose them to, you can expose them to sin. Actually, yeah, when you're talking about just in general, like poisoning somebody's mind, if you can make them stumble by flattery, you know, get their pride going, or exposing them to sin, try to get them to stumble. And who knows what tactics they used. Now, the word here that's translated here, poison their minds, in the New American Standard is translated as embittered. And in this particular situation, what they did was they somehow, probably through lies and deception, got the people to become bitter against the message of the gospel and against the apostles and against the disciples. They embittered them. That is a very dark tactic. Because, you know, it's not a matter now of, well, I disagree with you. You know, you believe that, I don't believe that, you know, I don't want any part of that. Now there is a spiritual dynamic happening. When you poison someone's mind where they have gall in their soul and they are bitter against you, all kinds of destruction and damage can come in the wake of that. I've seen it happen numerous times where someone has had their mind poisoned against the brethren and they become so bitter and it becomes a bondage that paralyzes them. John. Oh, jealousy, absolutely, jealousy. And it gets down into your soul and your spirit, and it literally becomes a satanic dynamic that just destroys people. And so you can see that Satan was behind this thing. He got them embittered against them, and the result was that they began to plot violence against them. They began to scheme as to how they could take these guys out.